This podcast is brought to you by Men's Tee Clinic. Men's Tee Clinic is the team I trust with my total wellness optimization, and so should you. Five DFW locations with North Frisco, El Dorado Parkway at Dallas North Tollway now open. Call 972-GO-MEN'S-TEE or visit mensteeclinic.com.
For the first time, U.S. subscribers can stream MLB Network 24/7, including select out-of-market games.
Swing and a drive. It's deep. It's gone. Yes.
Stream minor league affiliates.
Home run number one.
For Trent, pick number one.
Plus, get MLB Big Inning and live audio for all 30 teams.
Baseball can't get better than this.
Experience the game like never before with MLB Network and At-Bat, your all-in-one baseball destination. Only $6.99 per month. Visit MLB.com/At-Bat for details. Blackout and other restrictions apply. MLB trademarks used with permission.
From the mind of a two-foot-tall talking spokes puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare. The hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whomps. And thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in store or at mybobs.com to play now.
KNC Masterpiece right here on 105 Through the Fan, where we got full-blown, big-time breaking news as we head to the C Block.
Oh, yeah, thank you very much. And it definitely is breaking news on 105 Through the Fan, presented by BetQL. Smarter bets start with BetQL. Download the BetQL app or visit BetQL.com today. And moments ago, I mean, as we went to break, Kevin, Adam Schefter was the first one I saw report. Cowboys and all-pro wide receiver CeeDee Lamb reached an agreement today on a record four-year, $136 million deal. Now makes him the second highest paid non-QB in the NFL. The deal includes a $38 million signing bonus, largest ever given to a wide receiver. And then he threw his agent's name in on the negotiation as well. Torrey Dandy of CAA negotiated the deal. Kevin, I do believe that is somewhere in the range of $34 million per year.
$34 million per year. So only $1 million per less than Justin Jefferson.
All right. So there you go. That is CeeDee Lamb. And now, Kevin, now he's on the field. He can be back at practice. The hold in, hold out is done. And he doesn't look like a chump like Ja'Marr Chase.
Wow.
Who already went to practice and didn't get paid. No, I'm just joking. Ja'Marr Chase is fantastic. But like this is we've been kind of, hey, it's gonna happen very soon because A, the Cowboys don't want to not have him on the field.
Sure.
They were able to get good looks at all their backups and everything, but now it's time for the regular season to start. They want their starters prepared and ready to rock here. And adding him back to this mix is absolutely huge. So there you go.
Did it feel like, not really, because like I wasn't going to believe it until if nothing happened like on Saturday. But did it feel like you were getting pretty close to the, I don't know if drop dead date is the right term, in terms of knowing that he can be on the field and be full steam ahead against the Browns?
Yes. No, that was my biggest concern. And I mean, quite honestly, it's still going to be, because you can't replicate those things. So yeah. I still feel like there's going to be a little bit of, even for Dak and some of the guys that didn't start it, have any playing time, I think there's going to be some ramping up, some rust knocked off of this thing as they go here. I could be completely wrong, but everybody I've ever talked to says about three games is what it really takes to get back into game speed type. So to hope that's the case there, hoping that it works out.
Would you like to hear from Mr. Robert Belt on the subject?
He's from the Sean and RJ and Bobby and Peyton show. Here that you can hear on mornings here from 6 to 10 on 105.3 The Fan. Bobby, how's it going, man?
Wonderful. We don't include Peyton in that, though. So let's just cut Peyton, and otherwise we're great. We're
gotcha.
Golden.
Gotcha. This is the appropriate deal for CeeDee Lamb, correct?
Yeah, this is 100% what, you know, if you want to talk about where the settle point was on all the various angles that this was being discussed on in terms of, you know, average annual value, guaranteed money, years, everything else. This feels like where it was headed all along. Like, this seems like the logical endpoint. And that's what I guess is so frustrating, is why was this allowed to linger for as long as it was, if it seems just so obvious and the deal that everybody would have been projecting roughly is exactly what it ended up being. But it's done now. That's good. There was a sense, I think, at AT&T Stadium on Saturday from a lot of people that I had talked to, that it was going to get done this week. that the Cowboys expected it was going to get done this week. And ultimately, that's what we get. But it's good news because he is, at worst, probably the fourth best receiver in the NFL. And on a lot of days, he looks like the best.
I keep seeing the total number, and I appreciate that, and I understand that. Do we have any idea what the guaranteed
$100 million
money is? $100 million?
Yeah. It's 100. Yeah. Okay. So it comes in a little under Jefferson, who I believe was 110. And with Tyreek Hill resetting his full guarantees with the deal Rosenhaus just got for him, that also comes in a little under that. But this is, again, it's right under Jefferson in annual value, and it's right under Jefferson and Hill in guaranteed money. And that seems really obvious and really easy. And I don't know what the slow play was. It feels like a lot of the time there's just such a desire to win the negotiation. Like that they really want to win the negotiation more than they want to prioritize getting things done in a timely manner. So, fine. I'm glad it's done. That's good news. It's just you maybe are kicking yourself a little bit going, this feels like a deal that should have gotten done before training camp, and now you've missed that time.
Is there any – do you think there will be – I know you got to speculate a little bit – any tangible damage done to, like, his ability to contribute in week one or anything else like that by him not being out in camp?
No, because I think, you know, it's – if this was last year, it might be a little different when they were kind of still trying to feel out the offense and do some different things. This is – you know, year two of the offense, it's one that Dak's in a lot of control of. He spent the summer, you know, a lot of the offseason getting in workouts with Dak. So, I mean, their chemistry is so strong, and they've been able to work out so many different things, I think, during the offseason that should be picking right back up. You know, it's just getting on a bike and going again. That's kind of what I think this one feels like. But other positions, maybe. Other guys, maybe. Like, for instance, if Micah would have held out, I think that's a lot more damaging because you've got a new defense and you're going to be used in different ways. This is a little bit more like, all right, back to work, picking up with the things that we were doing.
Is there any truth to the rumor that they were just waiting for Juju Smith-Schuster to sign with the team before they signed CeeDee Lamb?
I mean, look, he said he was waiting on leaves to fall. Uh-huh. That implies more than just Jefferson.
There you go. I mean,
Tyreek Hill didn't get a new deal. Tyreek Hill just got kind of a rework deal. So I think it's only logical to look at it and say Juju and Justin Jefferson, those are the guys that he was really waiting on.
Got to get the benchmarks out of the way. And then somebody from the 972 said, our long nightmare of contract talks is over. Bobby, is it really over, or do we now just turn our attention to something else?
Now it's just we get to zero in on just the quarterback, right? And then, you know, 12 months from now, we'll get to zero in on the edge rusher and then Deron Bland and, you know, oh, well, let's pay Bland but move Diggs. Or, you know, these conversations are always going to continue. It's, you know, contract discussions here in Dallas are a lot like adulthood, where you just kind of repeat to yourself over and over, you know, oh, but next week things should slow down. And then they never slow down. And that's kind of where things are at with the contracts.
This is just the rest of my life. All right, Bobby, when are you paying off that bet and playing the round of golf?
I don't know. We gotta figure out where they're comfortable, like where Choppy and everybody else is comfortable getting their ass kicked by me. Like what kind of course do you want to be seen just getting destroyed in front of, like what kind of clientele and things like that. So they've got to figure that out. As soon as they are, I'm ready to hit that old dimpled orb, as we say in the golf world.
Mm-hmm.
And
ready
to whack the hell out of it.
Really appreciate it, Bobby. You have a fantastic rest of your day. Look forward to you getting up early and getting after it tomorrow, man.
I love you all.
There he goes, Bobby Belt. Love him too, man.
Dallas
Cowboys insider there.
I don't understand some of
the
immediate feedback. I'm hoping like this is all just tied to one person who had lots of thoughts about how CeeDee Lamb is not worth the money and not even worth $25 million. Like, if you want to make an argument about what the market does at certain positions, that's a different deal. But if Justin Jefferson is $35 million, then this is where CeeDee Lamb fits.
If the quarterback is the most important factor on the field and the quarterback is making X amount of money, then a portion should be going to the person the quarterback's throwing the football to. And that's a significant factor in what the quarterback is capable of doing. And if you don't have a good one, you're not paying your wide receivers very much. But you do have a good one. You have one of the best in the league, one of the top five wide receivers in the league. Whether you believe that or not, the numbers that he put up were legitimate, and he had the leverage to go along with it to say, look, I've done everything that I needed to do to deserve this. Now, let's go ahead and get an extension taken care of so that I can be secure in Dallas for a long time to come.
And then I guess we don't see this as much, but this is interesting. From the 214, wow, a new contract. So excited. However, how good is a new contract when he didn't play under the terms of his old contract? I don't think you can say that just yet because the season hadn't started. Like, you're right. He wasn't at training camp and everything like that. But I have no idea if push came to shove, if he really would have skipped the Browns game. I'm sure he'll get asked that and he'll probably be like, oh, it doesn't matter. I'm signed now.
Okay. So I do want to discuss this, and this kind of changes everything of the C block. We can get to the other stuff tomorrow. A lot of times you're seeing players a year before start to say, hey, I want to go ahead and get an extension done so we're not dealing with franchise tag. We're not dealing with all this other stuff. Let's go ahead and get this thing done now. Sure. And you're seeing that. Are owners caught off guard? I don't think owners are caught off guard by this. I really don't think that they're caught off guard whenever they see that a rookie is performing, or a guy that's on their rookie contract is performing at a level that is right there along with the best. I think this is becoming the norm, and I think that's where owners are trying to figure out a new way to work that. They're probably going to try and figure a new way to pitch this in the next CBA down the road.
And I bet they're afraid of, like, being known as the team that always gives in. Well, clearly the
every team does.
The Cowboys are not.
Right? But look at the receiver numbers. Yeah. AJ Brown, all the teams are doing it. The Cowboys are just another one of them because this is where the market is for this position.
And I'm guessing all teams are worried about, like, hey, we don't want to automatically give in. We need to at least pretend to dig our heels in. So, like,
and when they're rolling out billions of dollars a year as a corporation, sure. The NFL in general, the players are looking at going, yeah, we know how much money you have, and we deserve a big portion of that.
I definitely understand that. Like I said, I thought the salary cap probably should have gone up even more, but that's neither here nor there. And keep in mind, the owners can do the exact same thing. They cannot live up to the contract that a player signs, and that happens all of the time. That is one particularly tough thing in baseball, or excuse me, in football, that, like, it works both ways.
Yeah, and it's not guaranteed in football for sure.
Absolutely, which still boggles the mind. I'm glad the deal got done because it feels like your offense, big shock, would have been freaking lost, even if only for a game or two, without CeeDee Lamb. I think this falls right in.
Your whole season's harpooned?
It could be, yeah. Like, is there any part of you that thinks, oh yeah, this Cowboys team is good enough to drop the first two and just move on?
And what's interesting too is, in if you think to yourself, hey, I got two really good ones, I can just cut one or move on from one of them. Look at the Bengals right now. Didn't they just work something out with T. Higgins, and sure, now they got Ja'Marr Chase? They have two extremely talented receivers that they got to figure out how to pay. And just like we discussed there, it goes from CeeDee Lamb over to, you know, Dak finishing that up. That's going to be the main point of conversation now. Mike, I think Micah takes the back seat on everything, but now a lot of people are going to be in on. The only thing is, though, Dak's not going to hold out. Dak's going to be out there playing, and he's going to finish out his season.
That's, yeah.
Or he gets it beforehand. But the Cowboys were looking at this going, hey, man, we do need to get him on the field. 2 weeks advance notice is what we need to make sure that we feel comfortable with him getting out there and rocking. So,
and the question still comes up, and I understand that. What's the last really highly paid wide receiver that won a Super Bowl? I feel like Mike Evans was making quite a bit of money when they won the Super Bowl. But the wide receiver contract game has really taken off, like, in the last three, maybe 2 years or so.
And I do stand by strong quarterback play and defense wins championships. Yeah, I think you need both those two things to be the big factor. Now, along the way, you got to get to the playoffs. And throughout the regular season, wide receivers help you get there. You face an opponent that you got a receiver that's a mismatch nightmare for them. It's going to help you get to that point. So you got to get through there before you get to the Super Bowl at some point.
And look, we can dive into this probably at another time. From the 817, next season, the Cowboys will have three players accounting for close to half of their salary cap. No, they won't. Like, they just won't. That, if you were to take that at face value of $34 million plus $60 million, well, not, Micah hasn't even signed an extension yet. If you did it just like that, I could maybe see how that was the case. But first of all, Micah is going to be making less money than he will on the new contract. And that's not really how the salary cap works at all. Like CeeDee Lamb's number is not going to be $34 million next year. That's not how it's going to work. And if Dak comes back, his cap hit next year is not going to be $60 million. It's just not.
This question pops up. Real question, does Dak make CeeDee or does CeeDee make Dak? I think Dak is good by himself. I mean, I think he's a very good quarterback. He was good, very good quarterback without CeeDee Lamb. And when he got CeeDee Lamb, he was a very good quarterback as well. So I think Dak's a very good quarterback. CeeDee Lamb is going to make any quarterback good. Any good quarterback better. So I think it's just a great combination that you should be kind of happy you have that combination with the Cowboys because it's a lot of fun to watch. Now the question on that is, will he tuck his chain in every time the ball's supposed to come to him, or will he only tuck his chain in because it needs to be tucked in? A lot of people think that's a tell that he's like, oh, I'm tucking my chain in. I'm about to get the ball. That being said, you can't stop him a lot of times. So he's still going to get the ball anyway.
That's even more impressive to me if you're like, oh, this is a chain tucking one.
Yeah.
And you're like, I still can't stop him.
It's like the Babe Ruth story, right?
Yes.
He told you what he was going to do to it. Still, Larry Bird stories.
Still couldn't stop him.
Coming down the court saying, I'm going to shoot it right from this spot in your face.
The CeeDee Lamb deal, 4 years, $134 million. The extension gets done with the Cowboys with $100 million guaranteed. So
how much is left over for Dak now?
Is
there enough pie?
Look, here's the basic argument I'm going to make. If you let Dak walk, his salary cap hit on your team next year is $40 million. So whatever new deal you come up with, I bet you can get it in at $40 million or lower, like per just the salary cap number. So do with that information what you will.
So we could only offer him $59 million before because we were off by $1 million with CeeDee.
Okay.
And now we can only offer 58. Is that what I'm trying to figure that out? Or can we actually offer the 60?
I don't think
because of
this negotiation will necessarily impact the other negotiations.
They were off by $1 million and somehow they figured it out.
You know what? Look, if you go to Dak and you're like, we were going to give you 60, now we're only going to give you 59, that'll still be the most. So what do you say? And they're like, yeah, that Trey Lance thing didn't work out for you, huh? And then I'll sign the contract right there. We're the KNC Masterpiece right here on 105.3 The Fan. Sorry if I said 134. It is 4 years, 136 at a rate of $34 million per year and $100 million guaranteed. Coming up next, maybe we'll get a little taste of that C block, but also the Mavericks are now off of Bally as well. Are you happy? Will they reappear on Victory Plus? Probably more CeeDee Lamb talk next on the...
From the mind of a 2-foot-tall talking spokes puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare. The hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whomps. And thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in-store or at mybobs.com to play now.
It's a good thing baseballs already have stitches. Because the way these ball players are hitting them... Yeah, they need stitches if they didn't already have them. So the next time you're watching a poor little baseball smacked off the wall in center, keep that little fella in your thoughts. It's hard to be a baseball right now. Baseball is something else. Major League Baseball trademarks used with permission.
Fan.
Prescott's in the gun, back to throw, looking right, scrambles left, still got it, scrambles back right, throws it in the end zone, caught for a touchdown in the back of the end zone by CeeDee Lamb.
The man who just got paid, CeeDee Lamb. 4 years, $136 million extension with the Dallas Cowboys. That would average out to $34 million a year. I believe he also got a $38 million signing bonus, which, as Corey said, is the largest ever for a wide receiver. Now, I'm going to need just a minute to see how the deal is structured or crunch the numbers. I did not have time in between the break, but don't worry. He's still under contract. Well, I mean, he was always under contract for this year, but don't worry about a $34 million cap hit. That is not the way it's going to play out whatsoever.
Well, that's nice. Listen, more than anything, I'm just glad it's done so that they can move forward here and get this thing rolling, because it was problematic. Now, maybe you did get an opportunity for Dak to connect a little more with Brandon Cooks during camp, work on, you know, their stuff together. A couple other receivers got some opportunities for that, but man, having CeeDee Lamb on the field is, I mean, it's huge for this team. That's your best offensive weapon.
Yeah.
So you needed that.
For example, in 2025, Justin Jefferson's cap hit, I think, is going to be like $15 million. Now, clearly that puts you in perilous other spots based on void years and everything, which is one of the things we talked about, why it feels like you're kind of over a barrel with the Dak negotiations right now.
Kevin, all right then. You've watched this team structure their contracts.
Yes.
Do you believe that they will structure it to where a lot of the money is up front, and then they'll have short money on the back end of it?
No chance.
You think they're going to have a big balloon payment at the end?
What I think is going to happen is that balloon payment is going to come in the form of one or two void years. And you're going to be like, hey, guess what? This year it's $18 million. Next year it's $14. The year after that it's $16. We're saving money. And then you're going to get it down to it and you're going to be like, well, I hope he keeps playing here, because these void years might be kind of painful. Maybe he'll get fewer void years than Dak just because of the nature of the position. But when you hear that number, because I know that's exactly what people did with Dak's contract, that doesn't mean that's what your salary cap hit's going to be.
You said the numbers that ESPN put on their projection for him this year were low and that people would be disappointed.
Yes.
If he hits those numbers, will people say this is a wasted contract?
Yes.
If he hits the numbers he hit last year or gets close to that,
then
say he gets 1,600 yards, 112 receptions,
10 touchdowns, I think people are going to be like, that's why he's my guy.
Okay.
That's why he's one of the top five in the league. But ESPN's projection had him down at like 1,250 with 112 catches and 9 touchdowns, which are good numbers to be sure. But when you're sliding down from 1749 and 130 some odd catches and 12 touchdowns or whatever it was, that feels like a slide back. And I know people are going to be like, oh, it's because he got paid. I don't think that is going to be the case. I hope that's not going to be the case.
And then it still does beg the question of why. Why did you wait so long? What was the purpose of it all?
So that's a great question. But by the way, let me answer this as well. If you're an unofficial capologist, if the Cowboys give Dak a new contract once it's over, won't we still have the dead money on Dak? You could give him a deal that does not have any dead money on it.
Until?
Because you don't put void years on it. I will argue, that's just the way business is done now. The Cowboys are not the only team that does this by any stretch of the imagination. It's just you might be facing it at the end of the year if Zach Martin retires. And if Dak Prescott walks, you're going to look at like a $58 million cap hit for nothing.
But you'll have CD
next year. Yes, you will have CD. And then you'll really see them trick up that contract and be like, we're going to add even more void years.
We got some levers to pull on this one, boys.
But you asked another great question. I'm going to answer it. Can I give you what I think the public perception answer is first about why did it take so long? Because this played out exactly the way Jerry wanted, in terms of all of the attention, all of the focus, until you pretty much got to the last minute and needed him out there for the Cleveland game. You could argue the last minute's a little further
down. It was
one
of the top questions asked by every reporter when they were in talking to Steven and or Jerry.
Yes. And so don't you think some people will argue, and it's tough to argue against this because the Cowboys love attention and publicity, but don't you think the primary argument's going to be, well, they got all the attention for CeeDee Lamb, and he's not going to miss any actual time.
Yep. There was the headlines.
That could be it. I would argue that they were hoping that the deal would settle in at closer to $32 million. Like, we'd heard reports that...
And he didn't get hurt in the preseason.
That is true. Like that is very true. I think the argument could be made. The Cowboys were hoping it would come in underneath $33 million. We heard that, you know, contract proposal as opposed to $34 million. Because every little bit you can save there, whether it's 1.3 here, whether you look at Dak and it's 2.2, that adds up. That adds up to getting you Eric Kendricks, or helps you going forward with Deron Bland, Trayvon Diggs, Micah Parsons, whatever other deal that you're looking at next. So I'm going to make that argument, but for everybody who thinks it was just for publicity and get all the attention, look, it's tough for me to have a valid argument.
You can't slide that into the Jerry Jones realm.
I can't argue against that.
He knows how to stir it up. He said it before.
From the 817. I love how y'all knew the number CD would get and everything and knew they would wait until the last second. I mean, look, that's what happens. I go back to that interview with Stephen Jones when we asked about Micah Parsons, and he was like, well, Micah Parsons just became available. And it seemed like he thought that was an absurd question for us to ask about Micah Parsons getting an extension. I'm like, right, but if you like him as much as it seems like you do, pretty much everyone universally agrees how talented he is. Shouldn't you get ahead of this? Because the price for those premium defensive players, just like wide receiver, isn't going down. So why wouldn't you try to get it done sooner rather than later? They're like, nah, we'll probably get it done next year. Well, what's going to happen between now and next year? Probably going to see it bump up another million, two, three. And that's why I do not care for the way the Cowboys negotiate.
Kevin, we can continue to talk CeeDee Lamb here. Do want to throw this out. Okay. Eric Scott Jr. on the waived list.
Oh.
Deontay Burnett, Cole Cobrell, Josh DeBerry, Willie Harvey, Alec Holler.
Willie Harvey.
Cam Johnson, Jason Johnson, Nathaniel Pete. On the waived injured, David Durden, Fajoko, Darrell Johnson, and then terminated. I hate that one. That
it's just terminated.
That's from Nick Harris. Is Albert Huggins, who we saw hustling.
Yeah, we did.
He also had that one moment. And T. Billy, and then Damian Wilson, linebacker, which if you're looking at the way that some of those linebacker numbers we've been discussing all morning and like fall, I think what I saw here is there's 21. Is that 21 more? So we got more cuts to come.
So both Harvey and Wilson are out. I think Harvey, Wilson, and Scott are probably the three that immediately jumped to mind in terms of not that they were going to make the roster, but like that they were in the mix.
Yeah, it kind of leads you in the direction of who's going to fill those spots too. Considering we were trying to decide between Scott and Booth and Scott, you know, all those guys.
So would you think
that conversation?
Would you think it's trending towards, not for sure, but for now, Booth and Buddy Johnson then
Is getting what I their spots on the roster?
And look,
and Leah Fowle,
we'll talk about this more tomorrow, but these could definitely be placeholders, right?
Yeah.
In terms of like, let's see who Washington or any NFL team you want. Let's see who they get rid of and see what we can work there. Because these could just be placeholders. Tomorrow it's a rough draft of what this team will actually look like, right? It might be a close rough draft, but it's still a rough draft.
Yeah, and like you said, the deadline is 3 o'clock tomorrow.
Yep.
And that'll be right there in the smack dab middle of the start of G-Bag Nation. So you'll get all that content right there in your ear holes.
Yeah, tomorrow is going to be, I want to say a fun day, but probably a soul crushing day for a lot of people as well. A fun in terms of sports radio coverage. For a lot of people, you're going to sleep tonight and maybe you're thinking like, tomorrow I'm going to find out.
And I mean, I think that you can look at it two different ways. You know, you could have been prepared for it by your agent. Hey, look, man, it looks like the numbers are starting to dwindle, but go keep doing your thing. And we got three other teams that we're looking at for you. Don't worry about that part. Teams are going to be looking for this position. So there are a lot of other people that still have plenty of opportunity ahead. It's just it won't be with a star on their helmet.
And yeah, I'm, it definitely feels like the roster is coming into shape, and I guess good news for Buddy Johnson and Andrew Booth. It feels like,
I think it feels like those
cuts that
at the
you
moment.
Made. All right. I want to throw
and
this
now
up.
That CeeDee Lamb's back, which we didn't know if it was going to happen or not.
You definitely knew that CeeDee Lamb was going to be on the team.
I don't know.
Go ahead and tweet Brad Sham and say, aren't you glad that now CeeDee Lamb is under contract? And let me know what response you get from him about that, because I would look forward to that. All right. We're going to quick hit this other thing because, you know, we're breaking sports news and sports news is happening right here. Diamond Sports Group, over the weekend, which broadcasts Bally and their regional networks, announced that their contract with the Mavericks and the Pelicans is being terminated pending the bankruptcy court's official approval. That bankruptcy court is set to meet again on September 3rd. I don't imagine this will be an issue because, you know, they were trying to get cut rights fees to most of these teams. And then the Mavericks and both the Pelicans were like, no, we're going to go ahead and big fat pass on that, which we said was probably the way it's going to go. So you look at Bally when it comes to Metroplex sports. Obviously, we know the Stars are out and they're going to be on Victory Plus. Now the Mavericks are out. I would be willing to bet it's likely that the Rangers are going to be out as well. So you're talking about all of the like Metroplex sports franchises, like the three marquee ones that they're carrying, and they're all going to be off Bally. I think there's a pretty good chance of that. But where are the Mavericks going to go? And then here's my other question.
Vegas?
No. They're not moving to Vegas.
The fear.
Is it any easier for Mavs fans while we wait to find out where they're going to go, knowing that 30 of their games are on national TV?
That is pretty good.
Like with the Stars, I don't know the number, but it sure as hell wasn't going to be that. And I realize that still gives you a big gap of 52 games, but 30 of the Mavericks games are going to be on national TV. So while you wait, at least you can be like, okay, well, I can still get
lot of games you get to watch.
I can still get some fix. Mark Cuban said earlier this month that if the Bally contract didn't renew, the Mavericks would do everything possible to maximize distribution. And I wonder if they're like, let's co-venture up on Victory Plus. Because not that Victory Plus wouldn't be successful, but if you're like, the Stars are like, hey, come watch us. And the Mavs are like, us too. That is
what if the Rangers wanted to do that? I don't know their standing.
That's a huge start to this app. And now everyone who hated Bally is going to be like, well, then I will get that app.
Yeah. And then the other part is, you know, how much of that would NBA help absorb or help find paths, you know, and MLB, if that's what it comes down to with baseball.
My thought for I think the Rangers are less likely than the Mavericks to jump on Victory Plus, even short term, because I think MLB has a more like structured vision.
They already came up with something.
Exactly. So I think they have a more structured vision for what that's going to look like immediately. So I will say for now, I don't think the Rangers are going to end up on Victory Plus, but I don't know that for a fact. But I think the Mavericks, decent shot at getting picked up by Victory Plus. With the KNC masterpiece right here on 105.3 The Fan, jam-packed segment right there. Let's chit-chat with those fellas from the G-Bag Nation because you know they have thoughts about the CD deal. We'll do it next right here on The Fan.
Third and four, snapping the gun. Lance throws a bullet tipped and intercepted. At the 20, coming down the left side to the 15, and running right over Lance for the touchdown, Tremon Morris Brad.
KNC Masterpiece right here on 105.3 The Fan. Right now, courtesy of D&M Leasing, it is time for our chit-chat with those fellas from the G-Bag Nation. Gentlemen, how is you today?
Awesome, Heggy. How are you?
I'm doing good. Doing better knowing that the deal got signed with the Cowboys and CeeDee Lamb. 4 years, $136 million, $38 million signing bonus, most ever for a wide receiver, and $100 million guaranteed. We were kicking this around probably honestly for a long time, but also off the air. Do you think, because I do, that the Cowboys have a reputation of just being a franchise that like they'll give in and they'll sign? So just wait it out.
You know, not as a result of this. I do think in general, yes, if you want to go for it, you can. But I think this deal was very fair with both sides.
Okay.
Yeah. Yeah, I mean, that has definitely been the MO. Like, ultimately, this is something that they've been doing for a while. When they're at the top of the market, it's just, we will wait. And it feels like out of stubbornness when you already know what you have in Dak. Like,
and this ended up where we all kind of thought it would, right?
Exactly, with the CeeDee Lamb thing. Like, we've been talking about it for weeks. This is probably where it will end up. And at this point, when you have that reputation, the players aren't going to feel like, oh, I got to just take whatever we think your best offer is. We got to jump at that now, because they know, you know, if you're a guy like CeeDee Lamb and you're at the top of the position group like he is, then it's going to work out for you in the end.
Agents know.
Okay.
Agents know. And if you talk to other general managers around the league, they'll tell you the same thing about the Cowboys. Okay. Not that every general manager in the league has his ship in order. The reputation among the agent community is that the Cowboys will wait on deals. And just so if you're patient enough, the thing we've been consistent about on our shows has been CeeDee Lamb wasn't going to miss game checks.
Yeah.
You know, that's what the Cowboys were betting on. So, you know, and as Dawson said, they probably feel like they got a fair deal. CeeDee got what he wanted out of the deal, and now everybody moves on.
Andrew Brandt, who used to be in the front office for the Packers.
Yeah. Yeah.
He, as soon as the deal got done, his tweet was, "Cowboys are very predictable in paying their stars.
There you go.
Wait until deadline, yeah, then pay top of market on brand."
Yeah.
Yeah.
Now, with the releases of Eric Scott and
Fehoko, you're thinking about those are from previous administration picks, so those could be claims for the Washington Commanders right there.
Okay,
the rest of the guys they're waiting on, they're probably trying to trade.
Okay,
so you have your name of your guys. Usually, with how this will work is that you might be coming down to the last two guys. There's going to be some gymnastics going on here. So with the roster, with guys being on, guys being off, you know, maybe Thomas, the guard, who really hasn't done anything all training camp, might be on. You never know, you know, and then kind of do some gymnastics with that. That's how this thing works. So I would, I'd keep an eye on that. I'd also keep an eye on the fact that, like I say, anybody that's not on that list that you kind of thought about, Davis and others, that might be they're trying to move. So that's why they're going to carry this thing through Tuesday and see if they could, you know, until they have to finally submit all their cuts, but they'll try and trade some of those guys they don't plan bringing back.
This might be answered by they might still be trying to move, but do you think like the departure of Willie Harvey means Buddy Johnson?
Buddy Johnson made this team.
Okay. Yeah. Okay.
Buddy Johnson made this team. The questions have to come down now about what's going to happen at running back.
Okay.
Is it going to be Davis? Is it going to be Vaughn? Are they going to look outside the cuts? I know Dawson and I were talking pre-show. San Francisco put a couple of guys on the street. Might not be exactly. And Abanacanda, the kid from the Jets, is the one that I think people are looking at. If you're going to add a piece to your running back room, he would be the most coveted guy.
Okay.
He's like PFF's number one back in the preseason, yeah. I think,
that's
worth.
Yeah. Is it Andrew Booth? You think he's on?
I think that's on the team. The questions are about Wood, the safety.
Yes.
Is another one. Bones Fossil is going to control the last three or four picks that are made here, or the last three or four selections when it comes to your special team stuff. So that's probably what they're dealing with right now.
Do you think it's locked in that it's only going to be three tight ends?
There's some debate going around that maybe that Span Ford has done enough in the last several weeks. The last couple of weeks.
Yeah.
They gave him a $250,000 guaranteed bonus to sign here. There might be some like, well, let's see what we got here. Let's not put him on the street. There was, if you're paying somebody $250,000, that means you were competing against other teams for him.
So they know he won't make it through.
That might be a possibility. Every time we say, hey, this guy's not going to make it through, Todd Williams will walk through the door and say, we got all our guys back. You know, every time you think it's not going to make it through, you know, the floor noise and guy, then they're all back.
Every team just loves their own players. That they're much. Like, gosh, I don't want that, I get it in fantasy sometimes. They do. Fantasy? Yeah.
Everybody, they do.
I'm like, gosh, I should have just punted on this guy a while ago.
They love their 53, and as a general manager, you have to take advantage of if teams are going to make mistakes and put guys out there, you're thinking, okay, is he better than my fourth receiver? Is he better than my third running back? Is he better than... You know, those are the things you really have to weigh, but teams don't do that. They're like, nah, we love our guys, and we're just going to go forward here. So it's that makes it... And then
all the scouts that have been out and about working all preseason to, like, come up with some names that you might want in a situation like this, and like, nah.
Okay, yeah. I kind of thought about that when Jerry was asked about trading a fourth rounder for Trey Lance, and he goes, fourth rounder? Are you kidding me? And I was like, oh, man.
They
cut a fourth rounder today.
Yeah, they did.
Fehoko.
Yeah. Yeah.
Fehoko was a fourth rounder.
Sure, but, yeah. I mean, they also, their quarterback was a fourth rounder.
Well, their quarterback's not ready. The thing about their...
Talking about Dak Prescott, I'm sorry, not Trey Lance.
Oh, I see what you're saying. The thing with Trey Lance, just real quick about this, with Trey Lance, if you watch him play, the good, the bad with him the other day, I wonder if he has problems with his grip of the ball.
Okay.
Does he have small hands? Was he a small hands guy?
I'm just need to get into a little bit more, but when you watch the tape of every throw that he makes, they run this play called sprint right option, which is the interception. I think it was the first interception he threw the out that they were trying to, you know, they roll the pocket to the right. And in sprint right option, the Bill Walsh way is 1-2 throw, 1-2 throw. He was 1-2 pat ball throw. That brought, you know, they didn't get a very good pick from Flournoy that you usually get to make that defender to run through trash so you can get the ball out. But then you look at the last pass he threw in the game that was intercepted, the ball flew completely out of his hand.
9 1/8
Yeah.
Is the hand size for Trey Lance. I think that leans a touch small.
Yeah, he is a very much a pat. He's got a really long throwing motion. And the pass that he overthrew to out in the flat to Vaughn, he was really sitting back on his right foot. I mean, he sat really down on it. And sometimes when you do that, the ball tends to sail. I do wonder if he has a little problem with his grip strength. That's kind of something that maybe we need to look at, because he tends to pat the ball to kind of get it reset in his hand to have to make that throw. And sometimes you're late doing that when you're doing it. It's just something we need to kind of keep an eye on if he plays quarterback for you going forward.
Yeah, very interesting, Broadus. Yeah. What do you guys got coming up on the program today?
Well, Pure Gold, as always, Hagee, thanks for asking. It is a Monday, so we'll check in with our guy CY at 420.
Nice.
Right out of the gates, you know, all of our reactions and the branches on the CD Lamb topic tree.
Excellent. Looking forward to it. Roll home with the G-Bag Nation. We've been the KNC Masterpiece. Make your way back with us tomorrow, 10 a.m. to 2 p.m. right here on 105 Through the Fan.
So mission accomplished, Kevin.
For one of the three. We did it, CD.
From the mind of a 2-foot-tall talking spokes puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare. The hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whomps. And thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in-store or at mybobs.com to play now.
It's a good thing baseballs already have stitches, because the way these ball players are hitting them, yeah, they need stitches if they didn't already have them. So the next time you're watching a poor little baseball smacked off the wall in center, keep that little fella in your thoughts. It's hard to be a baseball right now. Baseball is something else. Major League Baseball trademarks used with permission.
Trying to figure out what to eat for dinner yet again? With Norsides and bouillon as your not-so-secret ingredient, you can skip the drive-thru and do dinner at home. Nor taste combos provide a menu of delicious, affordable, and well-balanced meals that you can prepare in 30 minutes or less. Visit nor.com to get quick and easy recipe ideas for your home-cooked weeknight dinners. It's not fast food, but it's so good.